Blog Talk Radio.
Theme tonight is something that's outraged me that I witnessed in a video today that came in from Walid Shubat. I'm going to talk to you about that a little later on in the show. So my topic is outrage that Muslims would consider an 11-year-old Arab boy a threat. Now, we all seen American Sniper and the mother who gave the bomb to a little boy to go suicidal on oncoming American soldiers. And that was a call that the sniper hoped he wouldn't have to make. But that's not the threat I'm talking about. I'm talking about a little boy, 11 years old, handcuffed. You know, it's funny, I'm flashing back. I saw another 11-year-old boy handcuffed by police in Florida. He was at a protest to save Terri Schiavo. And I have a picture of it. And he's surrounded by four cops, and he's being put in the paddy wagon. And the caption I put underneath was, "You have the right to remain Catholic." So, but this 11-year-old boy didn't suffer the same fate that this Arab boy suffered. He's handcuffed. He's all alone. No father, no mother, no relatives near him. Surrounded by 20 Iranian-directed Iraqi soldiers. And one of them is slapping the little kid around. Just slapping him for no reason at all. And you can see the look on the kid's face. The look on his face is I hope they beat me, but I hope they don't kill me. And at the beginning of the video, it looks like one guy is standing in front of him trying to talk the other guys out of killing him. But then a bomb goes off or shots are fired down the street and they all go to see what's going on. That moment, there's only a few soldiers left, and one guy on the extreme left puts 20 rounds into the kid with an AK-47. A poor little child. It could be my grandson. Puts 20 rounds in his body. The kid is gone. And the close-up shows his brains pouring out of his head. And the guy goes over. The kid is definitely dead. The guy goes over and puts another round in his head, shouting, Allahu Akbar. Shouting, Allahu Akbar. So I'm going to read that story to you later on. Right now I'm going to give you my topic. The outrage that Muslims would consider an 11-year-old Arab boy a threat. A handcuffed 11-year-old boy. Surrounded by 20 brutes. We hear the communists lie from inexperienced Westerners that a handful of radicals have hijacked a beautiful religion of peace. They spell peace wrong. It should be P-I-E-C-E, as in a piece of you and a piece of me. Let me go back to the initial communist lie that we did not have to go to Iraq. On the night of 9/11, as the DNA dust up 3,000 Americans, including 200 unborn babies not recognized by this communist government, spiraled in a rising ray of smoke. And no one in the world could guarantee our survival. No one knew what was to come, and an entire nation was on the run. Saddam Hussein bragged he had weapons of mass destruction, and when asked, he slyly admitted it. His uncle, Chemical Ali, had just finished gassing 5,000 Kurds in Halabja. What seems now to be, to me, is a Muslim pastime for murdering children. The UN weapons inspector, Mohammed Baradei, who recently ran for president of Iran, said there were no weapons of mass destruction. And speaking of weapons of mass destruction, do Google the neutron bomb. You know, it could be the size of a baseball. Bush just had all the cans that Clinton kicked down the road dumped in his lap. The communists denying that this hit was the second installment of 1993. Yet they demanded to know, what did Bush know and when did he know it? And Hitlery shouted the loudest, I don't believe she's going to be the presidential candidate. She's got too much baggage. They're going to give us somebody worse than Obama, bin Laden, bin Laden. Bush knew nothing. The military knew nothing. And nobody knew anything. Solution. Send in our own inspectors, 100,000, and Nancy Pelosi's two sons, Uday and Kusei, were gunned down and buried on Sandal Hill. Saddam was dragged out of a spider hole and hanged by a cowboy who only rides a bicycle. Bush stabilized Iraq, and for the first time in history, every Iraqi vote was counted, and the nation was stable. Then came cluster freak Obama and gave Iraq as a gift to Iran with the help of his Soviet allies. When the first tanks came out of the dust storm under Bush and made a right turn into the palace, Gaddafi surrendered. Gaddafi said, I'm giving up all my weapons of mass destruction. Come in, take a look. You're welcome. I'll show you anything you want to see. So what gave Obama the right to declare war in an executive order against the country of Libya? And now look at the mess that's there. including four dead Americans who received their 911 call hang up and were left there to die. The mullahs in Iran, at the same time, they thought they were next. You take a look at where Baghdad is and where Iran is. We could have been at Ahmadinejad's house in a half an hour. And they just saw those tanks coming out of a storm and tearing into one of Saddam's 18 palaces. The guy had keys to the bank. He had 200 automobiles. Every drop of oil, it was his money. The guy was the biggest fool in the entire 20th century. And he had to bluff the American people. And did you ever see the picture that he had painted and hung up in the palace? It's the World Trade Center on fire. And the second plane going in. And he's standing next to it, as big as the towers, smoking a cigar with a smile on his face. That's why we had to go to Iraq. We had to take them out of the picture. So, that was our time. Now we have 11-year-olds being gunned down in Iraq by Iranians. So now I'm going to play the Democrat national anthem, and then I'll go to the story by Walid Chubat. Okay, we're back. So now, this is the story that came from Walid Chubat. Watch the horrific leaked video of an execution of a terrified 11-year-old child carried out by the Obama-backed militias in Iraq. Carried out by the Obama-backed militias in Iraq. This is by Walid Shubat. A leaked video by fighters of the so-called Iraqi militia executed an 11-year-old boy with bursts of bullets on his head in Diyala province in Iraq. Shubat.com was able to obtain the footage showing the child in handcuffs being brutally beaten while surrounded by a group of Iranian-backed Iraqi fighters, then executed the child with showers of bullets on the head. Like, there's a picture of the kid still alive, and he's sitting up. He's got his hands behind his back. He's handcuffed. If you saw this video, you'd be sick. You would be sick. You would not sleep tonight. What the Obama administration did when he pulled U.S. troops out of Iraq was to replace them with militias who were providing the essential service. A plethora of new and old pro-Iranian Shiite militias that are dominating the battlefields in Iraq and Syria, which raises concerns about the growing Iranian influence. The growth of these groups, known as popular mobilization units, poses a conundrum for the Obama administration. These are Iran-backed groups who are providing most of the boots on the ground that are pushing back ISIS forces from key areas near Baghdad, including Diyala province. The Iraqi government is so vulnerable at this point, it has little choice but to turn to Iran, which, unlike the U.S., people on the front lines in Iraq. Iran began organizing new militias known as special groups, such as Asaib al-Haq, the League of the Righteous, which has attacked U.S. forces in the past. Now they are supposedly our allies. Oh man, we got the wrong people in power. We're going to become slaves. When the United States ended its combat mission in Iraq in 2009, militia leaders who had been jailed or blacklisted were freed and rehabilitated, like those five guys Obama released to go back and run the Taliban in Afghanistan, where Obama lost 2,437 Americans, and you don't know one name because they were identified as UN troops to be identified later. Obama's got a lot of blood on his hands that you don't know about. The evidence on the ground is beginning to reveal a simple observation. Who today is leading battles in Salahuddin province to recover Tikrit from ISIS? The Iraqi army or the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and Shiite militia crowd who is running Iraq amok? It was in June of 2014, in response to the advances of ISIS in Iraq and the virtual collapse of the Iraqi military forces, Iran began to provide direct military aid to the Iraqi government by deploying Quds Force soldiers to stiffen Iraqi positions in Samarra, Baghdad, and Kabul, as well as the former U.S. base Camp Spiker in Tikrit. You know who Spiker is? Michael Spiker. That camp is named after the first American pilot to die in the Gulf War. Michael Spiker. And three senators went to Iraq. We believed that he was being held in a prison. Probably Abu Ghraib. We believed he was being held there. And three senators went to take money from Saddam Hussein, and they never asked about Michael Spiker. Three Democrat communists, Thompson, Banya, and McDermott, all rats. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard also deployed 7 Sukhoi Soviet-era Su-25 Frogfoot jets. They also began to supply arms and munitions to Peshmerga forces in Kurdistan. In December 2014, Iran allowed foreign media to confirm the presence of Iranian F-4 Phantom jets in striking ISIS positions in Diyala province. U.S. sources later confirmed that the planes were Iranian, but the U.S. military forces were not coordinating airstrikes with the Iranian military. Although the presence of the F-4 Phantoms was not disclosed till December, these were not the first Iranian planes to be operating in Iraq, and it is likely that the F-4s had been operating there for some time. And now, according to the prime minister in Iraq, the prime minister, Haider al-Abadi, is leading his own expulsion of ISIS. The overthrow of Saddam Hussein's Ba'athist Party resulted in the emergence of a Shia-dominated government in Baghdad, replacing it with an Iraqi Shiite government friendly to Tehran. This eliminated what is an existential threat to the Islamic Republic of Iran and had tipped the local balance of power significantly in Tehran's favor. And once Iran cleans ISIS, the ISIS mess in Iraq, we will all rejoice. Iran will be happy. The U.S. will be happy, while all we have done is chased out ISIS, while Iran's Shiite militias can already be seen running amok in Iraq. And if the murder of that little boy has anything to indicate, that's previews of coming attractions. I say nuke them all. Yes. The neutron bomb will do just right. And the guy who killed that boy, may he have radiation blisters for a lifetime. The Fars, Pars Persian News Agency, confirmed that Qasem Soleimani, commander of Iran's Quds Force, is since Saturday in Iraq to lead the fight against ISIS. The Iraqi state is heavily reliant on the Iranians for military assistance. Qasem Soleimani, the commander of the Quds Force of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, is not Iraq cleaning the ISIS mess, but Iran, as Soleimani, is fiercely loyal to Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader. While he's viewed as a useful man to have by Shiite Nouri al-Maliki, Iraq's prime minister, scrambling to organize a counterattack against the Sunni jihadis of ISIS, but this deal is not free, even for the Americans. While the U.S. lacks the will to have its ground forces embroiled in another Middle East war, or even play the chips correctly in having smaller powers like Egypt and Syria take on ISIS, they resorted to Iran. Maybe that's what the deal is. Maybe it's not a nuke deal. Maybe it's the takeover of Iraq. According to Fars, the Soleimani, that is Iran, submitted to Iraq's military in order to give instructions to the army and volunteers in the region. Today, the Iraqi forces composed of 27,000 troops, in addition to the volunteer fighters, are nearing the control of the city of Tikrit within days. And now we see Qasem Soleimani working with Qaz al-Qazali, the head of the militia called Asaib al-Haq, League of the Righteous, that is backed by Iran. He is one of the most feared and respected militia leaders in Iraq, and one of Iran's most important representatives in the country. Alongside Asaib al-Haq, there are the Badr Brigades, formed in the 1980s during the Iran-Iraq War, when the younger and most secretive Qataib Hezbollah which is an admitted terrorist organization by U.S. State Department. In other words, I don't trust the State Department. I think it's a Soviet front operation. I think it's a mini UN and has no loyalty to the United States. Sorry, I got to tell you what I see. In other words, the United States is in bed with not only terrorists, but the terrorist regime of Iran. Kfar, as we, I think we said this already. Yeah, okay, the three militias have been instrumental in battling ISIS, the rival Sunni sect. These militias are the three small Iraqi Shiite armies, all backed by Iran, which together have become the most powerful military force in Iraq since the collapse of the National Army in June, and are key to Iran's power and influence inside neighboring Iraq. The influence is rooted in the two countries' shared religious beliefs. Iran's population is overwhelmingly Shiite, as are the majority of Iraqis. Tehran has built up its influence in the past decade by giving political backing to the Iraqi government and weapons and advisors to the militias and the remnants of the Iraqi military, say current and former Iraqi officials. Iran will soon invade Iraq. P.S. Considered a serious issue on Christian persecution, which will increase as we see these events unfold. I wonder if that boy that they killed was a Christian. We operate a very effective mission in rescuing fellow Christians. We are a unique operation, who rescue Christians predominantly in Pakistan that live under the Muslim yoke, baking bricks in kilns under the heating sun. I didn't know those were all Christian kids. Christians in Pakistan are also burned in furnaces. To see an example out of the thousands we rescue, click here and listen to the amazing testimonies first hand on how you can help and make a difference. Consider donating to Rescue Christians. So, just thought you should get an earful of that. You got to see the execution of the boy. It is so heartless, man. There's no compassion. And here we're running around in Ferguson making up stories about a bully who pushed around a 110-pound Indian merchant trying to earn a living, and then went out and attacked the policeman and tried to take his gun away. And the communists turned it around to a racial incident. How sad, man. How sad. We are going to get the biggest beating of our lives. I hope I'm wrong. Okay, I'm going to take a break. We'll do a tune. We'll find a nice tune for you. It's all in the game. The hanging tree. Here's a guy that got in trouble with a girl. Yeah. you get the 45 goals of the Communist Party that was read into the congressional record in 1962, 45 goals of the Communist Party, you will see that they've reached almost every one. And we are now living in a communist state. The only thing is, nobody is using the word communist. But they still use the old-fashioned words like leftist. Leftist is communist. And right-winger. Right-winger is a patriot. So, here are some headlines from the New American. Obama unveils plan to further nationalize local police. The Obama administration, remember he said, everything this man says he's going to do, he does. He told you you're going to be paying big money for gas. You're going to be paying big money for gas. Enjoy this lull until he gets his act together to take it all away from you. He also said he was going to have a police force bigger than the U.S. military. Obama unveils plan to further nationalize local police. Task Force on 21st Century Policing unveiled a plot to impose federal standards on state and local police forces, pretty much like what Hitler did when he took everybody's guns away. He said, why are you taking my guns, mein Führer? He says, what do you need guns for? You have the SS to protect you. Get your things and get on the truck. Soviet America. Florida city with homosexual commissioner cracks down on churches. After a pastor in Lake Worth, Florida said something that a homosexual councilman took offense to, harassment and fees from the city began. It's one of the 45 goals, by the way. Nationalizing the police, that's another one of the 45 goals. Unanswered questions in Hillary Clinton email scandal. You know that guy that got attacked? That ambassador that got attacked in South Korea? Do you know that when they rushed him to the hospital, they wouldn't take Obamacare? No, we don't take Obamacare here. North Korea take Obamacare. Unanswered questions in the scandal. Yeah, I'm sure there are some unanswered questions. Yeah, how many money deals did you do? Huh? What were the account numbers? Atheist Dawkins, and I guess that's Richard Dawkins, now wants to save children from what he sees as their parents' religious delusions, but his worldview gives him no logical reasons to profess right and wrong. That's another one of separating the children from family. That's another communist tactic. Lawyers try to weed out federal crop insurance. Lawmakers try to weed out federal crop insurance. Legislation has been introduced in Congress to eliminate federal subsidies for a type of crop insurance. Farmers more as crop prices rise. And you heard about this one. I think I said it on the show last night. African-American pastors to give Alabama Judge Moore Courage Award. The Coalition of African-American Pastors gave Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore an award after he ordered probate judges not to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Jimmy from Brooklyn says, we have no idea. We think that the Soviet Union collapsed, but sometimes as a war tactic, faking a collapse lowers the guard of your enemy. And Jimmy says, only one side is fighting. And he also says, when the communists win, they win, and when they lose, they win. Okay, I'll give you a little grease. We have no problems and we see the light. We got a lot of cash we got to hide. There ain't no danger, we can go too far. Just start selling those pardons, that's who we are. Greece.
We are scoring big in tax monies like rain. The voters don't understand, it's just a laughing shame. Our lips are lying, only cash is real. Stop fighting ourselves, we got dinars to feel. Greece is the word. We take the pressure and we throw away. The Constitution now belongs to yesterday. There is no chance the U.S. will get that far. Once our pockets are heavy, put the rest in the car. Greece is the word. This is a life of confusion, a life of control, mixed with diffusion. Chuck Schumer just sold his soul. McDermott, Thompson, Banya scored lots of green. They went to Baghdad and they made the scene. Pelosi and Nelson, they danced the clone. Denounced the country from a Syrian throne. Backsheesh is the word. It's the word that you heard. The refrigerators are full, let's break the bird. Greece is the time, is the place, is the motion. Greece is the way we are crouping, way we are crouping. Hey, get your nuclear secrets, get your caribou rights, get your trade agreements, get your higher taxes, get your open borders, press 5 for English.
Susan Payne, a Maryland political activist who was interviewed on the Mark Levin show last week, called into the Joe Miller show yesterday and provided even more details on what a White House task force is planning with respect to illegals in this country. She dropped a bombshell during the discussion. The White House task force, I love it when they say judge rules, but they don't tell you the name of the judge or their background. I get a kick out of it when they say task force. Why not give us all the communist names on the task force? They want to change Thanksgiving and celebrate in its place Immigrants Day. How's that, man? You know, these people have all been primed. They're out there. They got the game plan. The betrayal papers. Obama and Muslim Brotherhood conspire to destroy America from within. Most of the Obama administration scandals and many of its domestic policies are often directly linked to the Muslim Brotherhood and its goal to destroy America. You want to know what that's all about? In every age. You ever hear that song? I'm going to play it for you next. I'm going to play it for you next. Let's see what this says. What do Common Core, comprehensive immigration reform, and IRS targeting of conservative groups have in common? The Department of Justice and the IRA. After this bird leaves, and do not let Lynch get in there. You'll just be putting Eric Holder in there in a dress. That woman cannot be appointed to that job. And any Republican, there's 75 Republicans on death row right now, political death row. They're going to be replaced, if I have my way, all by women. I'm looking for pro-life ladies that are pro-American I want to put them up as candidates against the 75 who double-crossed the American people by joining with the communists on radical amnesty. So let's see what this says. They are just a few examples of the Muslim Brotherhood-connected policy initiatives that are affecting the lives of Americans every day. Under Obama, a year from now, would you think that America would even consider talking about Sharia law? Under Obama, many new domestic policies, as well as many scandals, can be traced back in various degrees to the Muslim Brotherhood. To understand why America no longer feels like America, why it seems that the government has its favorites, and while others are targeted and even persecuted, it is important to understand two strong influences on the Muslim Brotherhood. The first is historical, the Nazi Party of Hitler's Germany. The second is more contemporary, the strategy developed by al-Qaeda's strategic mastermind, Abu Musab al-Suri. In 1939, German economist Günther Eichmann published a study of the German economy under Hitler, The Vampire Economy, described a corrupt backwards economy that was not based on any economic logic, much less profit-seeking, but instead on the politics of the Führer, Adolf Hitler. Like communism, there's no difference between communism and Nazism. They're both socialists. Like communism, Nazism was a form of socialism. The term Nazi is a contradiction of the German word Nationalsozialismus, or national socialism. Unlike Soviet communism, which at least theoretically depended on shared ownership of capital to direct the economy. Jimmy from Brooklyn says there's a couple of stages before you go full-fledged communist. The country goes full-fledged communist. And that is, you start up with, in one of those stages, you got to have capitalism to fuel the success of communism. So, communism depended on shared ownership of capital to direct the economy. In Nazi Germany, the shops, farms, and factories remained nominally in private hands, yet the outcome was basically the same in both Soviet Russia and Nazi Germany: total control over the economy by the leader and the party. In Germany, the pseudo-legal rationale used by the Nazis was regulation, which was subject to change on a whim. If you stepped outside the regulations, you were punished with fines, political persecution, imprisonment, and possibly shipped off to a concentration camp. Does that sound familiar? We got a concentration camp for guys who served in the 9-1-1 war. It's called Fort Leavenworth, and they've been sentenced to charges like premeditated murder, and sentenced by a panel of judges with no combat experience. You got to open up all those cases since 9-1-1, review every one, and look for errors in persecution. Not prosecution, persecution. Yet pervasive corruption in the Third Reich ensured the rules applied differently to those in favor and those who opposed the Nazis. I think I heard once that in Russia, only 10% of the population belonged to the Communist Party. And of course, if you remember, you got special privileges. Specifically, in such an economy, there are party members in good standing, and there are dissidents. Party members can break rules with impunity. That's what the Democrats do. Look at Charlie Rangel. He should be doing 10 to 20. Hillary Clinton, she took drug money. Oh, you can't prove that. Okay, she allegedly took $450,000 from the Fignali drug family, and her brother got caught with it, and he had to return it and he was short $50,000, and they said, it's okay, don't worry about the shortage. We support the president. This calls to mind Obamacare's implementation. Certain companies, approximately 1,200 in fact, received waivers from the law. Other businesses were forced to provide health coverage for abortions against the will and conscience of the business owners. That's baby murder, man. You better start calling a spade a spade. 4,700 American babies were torn to pieces today. William Wallace didn't suffer the agony that these children do. And the communists will tell you they're only tissue and feel no pain. They lie. They lie. Global warming. Look at that one. Everybody's buying it. Yes, we have global warming again. Oh, no, it's climate change now. I call it global warming and climax change. Yeah, you know how much global warming we got today? The governor in New York had called a 911 to bring hot water because he's stuck on the toilet seat. Skin is frozen. The calls to mind Obamacare's implementation, certain companies against their will, blah, blah. A similar comparison could be made for the fines and prosecutions unequally levied on banks for violating a myriad of complex or overlapping regulations. Yes, and we all know how that works out. You can pay a $200 million fine, or you can donate $10 million to the Democrat Party, the party of death. For you Spanish-speaking people, la patria de la muerte. Yeah. They are bad news. And they pay bounties on babies. Did you know that? If you kill a baby in a Democrat chop shop, you get $300. 4,700 Americans died today by 5 o'clock. Planned Parenthood kills 3,000. Of the 3,000, 1,100 are black babies. I don't see Al Sharpton. I don't see Jesse Jackson. I see them in front of prisons with candles demanding the civil rights for a murderer, but no civil rights for a child that just happened to be born by accident. Yeah. Although most Americans know the name Osama bin Laden, very few know the name Abu Musab al-Suri. While bin Laden provided the charisma and wealth to found al-Qaeda, al-Suri, one of his top lieutenants, provided valuable strategic advice to the fledgling jihadi network. A member of the Muslim Brotherhood from the time he was a student, al-Suri rose to become a member of the Brotherhood's military command in 1982. Al-Suri was a calculating thinker who recognized that to bring down America and the West in general would require something different than mass murders. He urged the targeting of high-value targets such as infrastructure, which would force the United States to incur significant economic costs. As an example of this strategy in practice, al-Suri was the architect of the 2004 Madrid train bombings. There is a good case to be made that the World Trade Center was long in al-Qaeda's sights, precisely because it was a bastion of capitalism, an important hub of New York City's communications network, and the home of many prominent companies. Of course, there's little sense in physically targeting an economy which has already been knuckled down under onerous, impossible to keep up with regulations. I'll give you a quick example. I got a threatening notice from a government agency. One of the products that I sell them is a vice. And the vice is made, the vice is made in China. It's a big vice. It's made by a company who is a household name, has been in business since 1947. So they threaten me because there's two little pieces that go that ride inside the vise against each end of the vise, so you can put smaller items in there and it holds them. Those two pieces cost a dollar. So they threatened me with a lawsuit for violating the promise that I made not to buy a Chinese. I cannot sell my government anything that's made in China. I got to tell you something. I brought 1,200 American companies to the Kuwait right after Kuwait was liberated. 1,200 small businesses to try and get them business with doing business with the Kuwaitis. 1 year later, there were only 600 left. Today, it's probably 20. And they were all driven out of business by the U.S. government, mainly the EPA. So, what can I do? I've got to take these part numbers off of my catalog. And I sent a notice. I sent 10 part numbers up to the manufacturer and said, could you please give me the country of origin? You know what came back? Company's been here since 1947. Seven of the items were made in China. Three were made in South Africa. Company makes nothing anymore. It's all thanks to the EPA. So whoever was working for that company years ago when that company was running a full steam ahead, they're gone. They're gone. Now it's just a paperwork office. It is sad. Meanwhile, as the government unapologetically intrudes into every aspect of life and business, and I got to tell you something, that agency is corrupt. You wouldn't believe how corrupt they are. And they're brazen enough to be corrupt in emails. Remember the picture of the guy sitting in the bathtub with the wine glass? Government employee? Yeah, I'm sure that goes on like crazy. You got the senators and congressmen that made it a law that they could do insider trading, but nobody else in the country can. John Kerry sat in on all the Obama scare hearings. He knew which companies were going to get, which drug companies were going to make out and which ones were not going to do so good. And he was buying and selling stock based on what he knew. That's insider trading. That's against the law. So the people said, what are you doing? And they said, oh, you caught us. We won't do it anymore. So we're going to remove it. Remove that privilege. And 30 days later, when the country went back to sleep, they reinstated it. They're doing it today. You got to get rid of everybody. One term per termite. One term per termite solves the problem. No lobbies. A lobby should be illegal. $1 contribution for champagne. When they run their campaigns, do not give them, you're not giving them, you're out of the picture. You can't send them enough money. Hillary got $500 million from Algeria, a poor country. You're out of the picture. Your vote doesn't count. You won't even get talked to. And I saw Hillary coming out of a restaurant one night on a video, on a documentary, with two other women. And it was a downstairs restaurant in New York, and they came up to the street level, and a bum went up to her and said, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Could you give me a buck? And she laughed at him, and her girlfriends laughed at him, like they laughed over the death of Muammar Gaddafi. She laughed at him. You know what she said? Give him a Vote Hillary brochure. $2 billion you're going to put in her war chest? Who is she working for? She ain't working for you. And you want to know something? She's obvious. All the rest are not so obvious. One term per termite. Get them all out of there. Give them the quick shuffle. So, Financial columnist Charles Ortel has shown that the economy is fundamentally as weak as it has been in a generation. Following the collapse in 2008, and the 2008 collapse, boy, that put a lot of homes underwater. A lot of people that worked their asses off and struggled to make those mortgage payments. And what happened? The communists came in and forced banks to give people that were not qualified for a mortgage a mortgage. And if the banks resisted, they would get labeled with the race card. So the bank said, okay, we'll give him the mortgage. And when he fails, we're going to give the mortgages back to the American people, and they can pick up the tab. And that's what they did. And the politician said, we don't care. We look good. So following the collapse in 2008, the government pumped in trillions of dollars to supposedly stabilize and jumpstart the economy. Two things I remember about that. Obama laughing about shovel-ready jobs like it was an inside joke. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of shovel-ready jobs. And a guy named Robert Reich at a hearing talking about stimulus money. He told a panel of either congressmen or senators, he told a panel on public television, you can get this on YouTube, be sure none of that stimulus money goes to white construction workers. That's how long this nation has been under the thumb of the communists. So, where am I? Following the collapse of 2008, the government pumped in trillions of dollars to stabilize and jumpstart the economy. Recall the misnamed stimulus, but as of January 2015, there were fewer core jobs in the private sector economy than 10 years earlier. Compounding this economic morass is a national debt. In roughly the same period, 2005 to 2014, debt has increased $16.5 trillion to $58 trillion. Finally, information from 2012 and 2013, the most recent data available, shows pre-tax incomes decreasing for high, middle, and low-income earning households. Abu Musab al-Suri had a terrorist superstar with Osama bin Laden. When it comes to economically kneecapping the American economy, Barack Hussein Obama has proved far more effective than the cave rat Sheikh bin Laden. What would be more powerful enough to exert this influence over the American economy? U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Doha, Qatar. Bipartisan influence by Muslim Brotherhood. I would take the name U.S. away from that Chamber of Commerce. They're just high-flying pimps. In February 2010, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce established their first legal chamber in Doha, Qatar, right next door to the Taliban that Obama's releasing. I'm only kidding. The reader should be reminded, in a prolific financier of terror, Qatar is also home to the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, Yusuf al-Qaradawi, now an Interpol fugitive. Something I want to mention to you. They talk about the Sunni and Shia. And that the Sunni are not welcome in Iran. Osama bin Laden's, one of his sons, asked for sanctuary in Iran and got it. And I don't know if he's back on the Saudi side, but at the time he was a guest of the Iranian government. So there's an Arab saying, the fingers are different, but the hand is the same. Qatar is also home, Yusuf al-Qaradawi. Okay, the chamber represents American business and also has an explicitly political and diplomatic mission. In the words of the chamber's executive vice president and COO, David Chavern, AmCham Qatar is another concrete example of positive U.S. engagement with the Muslim world. You get sicker. Among the companies and organizations that are premier sponsors of AmCham Guitar, ExxonMobil, Boeing, Carnegie Mellon Guitar, Northwestern University in Guitar, and Floor. Moreover, the following companies have a significant involvement with the state of Guitar: Lockheed Martin, Bloomberg, Bank of America, Miramax, among many more. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, with its close ties to Qatar, is by far the largest lobbying in Washington. I told you, rule number two, no lobbies. $136 million in 2012. Everybody gets greased. That's part of the game. Business is a bipartisan pursuit.